or tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday morning service of December the 29th, 1988. Tape number 13 of the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Deora Bolin and Tommy Cook are the teachers for the morning.
This morning, we're going to have a double header. We're going to have two speakers this morning, and they're going to teach us on fasting. And Brother Tommy Cook's going to come first, and as soon as he's finished, then Brother Bolin will step up and take his place. And when that is finished, then I will come back and we will then pray over all the prayer requests that are available. If anybody has a prayer request, get it written out so we can have it. There's been several that's been turned in to Irma or Patty already. But if you have any, get it written out at this time and prepare it. Brother Tommy Cook.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Tommy's glad to be here today.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, again today we thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
This is a day that you've made, and help us to rejoice and be glad in it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for health and strength. We thank you, Lord, for your peace and your joy today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Lord, as we approach the Word again, we approach it reverently, and we ask that you quicken us together in the Word today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, how many know this is fast day for a couple of meals? And we all need to learn to fast, don't we? Praise the Lord. Now, we know there are different kinds of fast that people go on and God puts people on. Not everybody can fast the same way. Not everybody can fast as long as some people can. You know, it takes faith to fast. and there's two kinds of fast. There's the kind that the Lord calls, and then there's times that men call fast for certain reasons. But whatever the reason is, we need to fast. Can you say amen? And we need to, I say, instead of going on just long fast, although there are times, I suppose, for that, we need to just live a life of fasting. And we need to learn some discipline. We need to know how to rule the body. Our body is ruling us most of the time, just to be honest. But we need to know how to rule the body. Amen?
Amen.
The word fasting means to cover the mouth. And that means more than just not putting food in it. It means to watch also what we say. And I find that once we begin to fast and cry out to God, that we are not so prone to misjudge others as we do sometimes. Amen? So we need some help there in that respect. Praise the Lord. I think we have to adjust our bodies into what kind of fast we can go into. As I said, some can do more fasting than others. In my own life, I've found at times that like fasting a meal a day for a couple of weeks, just eating one meal a day rather, for a couple of weeks, and drinking water, I can not only get benefit from that, but my body gets benefit. I can lose 10 pounds. So that helps too, doesn't it, sometimes? But our motive should not be just to lose weight. Our motive should be to please the Lord. Amen? Our motive should not be, well, how much power can I get, or what can I get from God? Our motive is to be obedient to the Holy Ghost and to the Lord, and whatever comes out of that fast, of course, we will benefit from it. Now, let's look at some scriptures today. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let's just start there and look at a few scriptures together. Matthew chapter 6 in the scripture. And we want to look at let's look at three things. Look in verse 2. Jesus said, therefore, when thou doest alms, do not sound a trumpet before men, of course.
Right.
I mean, no, he expects us to give to the kingdom. And he didn't say if you want to, or he said, when you do it. Then in verse 5, he said, when thou prayest, not if you pray, but when you pray. And then down to verse 17. Notice what he says in verse 17. But thou, when thou fastest, not if you fast, but when you fast. Notice, anoint thine head and wash thy face. I mean, God doesn't want us to go around looking, down in the mully grubs if we're going to fast. He wants us to, he said here, what did he say? He said, anoint your head, wash your face. You know, a lot of your poison comes out in your face, doesn't it? So we need to wash your face. We need to anoint our head. And notice that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father that's in secret or private, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall do something. Reward thee openly. Hallelujah. So when you come into the Father secretly and minister to Him, He will reward you openly. Now, fasting without prayer is just a diet. We need to fast and pray. Now, there are those, I've seen many people who fast but don't pray. But it's prayer and fasting, isn't it? So if we're going to fast, what should we do? We need to pray as much as possible and worship the Lord, of course, and so forth. So he said, when you give alms, when you pray, when you fast. Now turn to Psalm 68, and let's look at some scriptures here concerning fasting in the book of Psalms. Now, let me just say this before we turn to the scriptures. There are fastings without water for 3 days. Now, if you go beyond 3 days, you better hear the Holy Ghost. And I think you need to hear the Holy Ghost to go without water 3 days too, don't you? Amen. Number two, as I said, sometimes you can fast like a meal a day for a period of time as your body can do it. Or you can go on fruit fast for a period of time. There are people who just eat fruit. Then there are those who go on juices. And there are those who have different kinds of fasting. Let me say it this way. Fasting, a hard fast, is a shock to the body. And if you go on a lengthy fast, you've got to hear from God. Because it is a shock to the body. How many ever go on a fast and you get headaches? Yes. And one of the reasons is because we don't fast enough. Or it can be, you may be having a reaction from caffeine or sugar or whatever. But we need to deal with those things. Can you say amen? All of us in our bodies. But it's a shock to the body. I say if you're going to go on a lengthy fast, if God's leading you, go into it gradually. Just don't go into a total fast at once. But gradually come into that, you see, as the Lord leads you. Praise the Lord. But of course, it's up to the Holy Ghost. Now, Psalm 68. Now, look in verses here. And I didn't write the scripture down. I've got to find it. Okay, verse 7. Listen to what David said. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren. You ever felt like that? And an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. And this is prophetic. And reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Now verse 10. David said, when I wept and what? Chastened my soul with what? Fasting, that was to my reproach. So he wept and he chastened his soul with fasting. Now let me ask you a question. What is that part of us that doesn't want to fast? It's the soul and the body, isn't it? But especially the decision. How many's ever woke up in the morning and God spoke to you and you knew it was God and God said, I want you to fast today? Well, immediately you got to make a decision. Isn't that right? The decision is in your soul, in your will. And you have to make a decision whether I'm going to or not. And so our soul can side in with the spirit or with the flesh depending on what decision we make. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And so David said, I wept, I chastened my soul with fasting, and that was to my reproach. Now look over in another psalm, Psalms 35. Psalms 35, verse 11. And David says here, false witnesses did rise up, they laid to my charge things that I knew not. Verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul, but as for me, when they were sick, how many has ever fasted for others that were sick? I believe a Sister Irma said that some fasted for her one time. Isn't that right, Irma? I tell you, it works.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. How many know those who fast for you when you're sick, they really love you? Isn't that right? They're dedicated. Not only to God, but to you. Hallelujah. But he said, when they were sick, my clothing was something. Sackcloth. You know, in Revelation it says the two witnesses are going to wear sackcloth. That means they're in a flesh and blood body. And that means they're going to be in fasting and mourning and prayer and intercession. And so he said, I humbled my soul, my will, my mind, my emotions, my desires with fasting. And my prayer returned to my bosom. Now, look at another scripture, Psalms 109. I know we're going hurriedly through these things, but just look at some scriptures together here this morning before Brother Boland comes in a little bit. Psalms 109, verse 24. How many ever get weak through fasting? If you go long enough, praise the Lord. Verse 24, listen to what David said. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. Well, that'd help all of us, wouldn't it? Amen? I mean, the weight will come off when you start fasting. But he was weak, his knees were weak, and he began to lose some weight. And then he said, I become also reproached to them that looked upon me, they shake their heads, you see. So evidently he lost a lot of weight. Hallelujah. Now, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians 6. How many here are ministers? I mean, no, we all are. Maybe not a fivefold, but we're all ministries. 2 Corinthians 6. Let's see what Paul says about fasting. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3. The Apostle Paul said, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, and notice, in much patience. I mean, old patience comes by tribulation, isn't that right? And in afflictions, necessities and distresses and stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watchings, and in fasting. Notice, so by being approved, one of the things we must do is fasting. Amen? And notice the word fasting is plural there, more than one. Now look in chapter 11, verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 27. And this is, of course, Paul is telling all the things that he went through, all of his persecutions. And in verse 27, he said, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, and in fastings, what? Often. There's a disciplined life, isn't it? And in cold and nakedness. You know, there are some people in certain countries that have no food. They have to fast until they can get food. Isn't that right? But you notice this scripture, he said, in hunger, that's times when he didn't have any food, and thirst when he didn't have any water, but also in fasting, possibly when he had food. So there was discipline in this man's life. Praise the Lord. But notice the next verse. You better fast. Besides these things, he said, that without that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And if you're in a place of responsibility, it's going to take some fasting to get some answers from God. Isn't that right? Amen. So, we all need direction. Now, let me say a word here. How many know that sometimes people have damaged their body through fasting? Are you hearing me? They've damaged their kidneys or their stomach. I know people that have stomach problems because of their long fast and possibly not using wisdom and so forth. And, I knew a man that actually fasted 40 days without anything to drink or eat. Yeah. But I don't recommend that. Amen? Unless God would direct you, you gotta know it's God. How many know there's a lot of voices in the world? You gotta know if it's God speaking. I'm gonna tell you, not all voices that come to tell you fast is God. I've experienced that in my own life, waking up, and a voice would come and say, I want you to fast. I knew it wasn't God, and I just ignored it. But other times, I knew it was God, and I didn't want to. Come on now. Be honest, amen? Our flesh doesn't always want to. If you got high blood pressure, you are any kind of kidney problems or sugar problems, you need to use some wisdom about fasting. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to get healed in order to fast. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at a few more scriptures quickly. Praise the Lord. Look over with me in the book of Esther. How many know we need to fast in time of danger?
Esther in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Sister Esther. And look in, let me tell you what was happening. In chapter 3, the enemy was out to kill the Jews. Mordecai got a revelation about it. In chapter 4, you'll notice Mordecai in verse 1, he rends his clothes, he puts on sackcloth and ashes, which is a type of fasting and prayer. And others begin to, in verse 3, begin to mourn and weep and to wail and put on the sackcloth and ashes. And of course, Esther was grieved and she sent and told Mordecai to take off his clothes. Now there are those who would discourage you from praying and fasting. How many has ever run into that? Yes. Now, in verse 13, though, Mordecai, notice it said, commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye with for me, neither eat nor drink. Now there, notice, no eating and drinking for how many days? 3 days. 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Well, how many know she went in the king and she was received. The scepter, of course, was extended out to her. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, God moved in that situation. And you know, Haman, who had made the gallows that was 50 cubits high to kill Mordecai on, how many know that he got hung? And you know, 50 is the number of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost hung him. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in the time of danger, now let's look at one of the scripture in danger. Turn to Ezra. Turn to Ezra. Turn left back there to Ezra. And let's look at another scripture in times of danger and fasting. Ezra 8. And look at verses 21. How many has ever been tested on your testimony? Things that God has done for you and you've told others and you come under a test because of it. Well, right here we're going to see it. Look in chapter 8, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there. Notice, he proclaimed the fast. At the river Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves, notice, before our God. And here it is, to seek of him, gotta have an answer. I mean, need some answers today. All of us do. To seek of him a right way for us. And for our little ones and for our substance. That's for each individual, their children, and all that they have. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken to the king saying, now notice this, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So he testified to the king. And he refused to take, I guess, protection from the king. Verse 23, so we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Well, then if you'll read on down, you'll see they weighed the gold and all that they had that they were going to take back with them. But look in verse 31. Then we departed from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go unto Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he what? Delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way, and we came to Jerusalem and so forth. So through fasting, God protected the people here and the children and all the substance. Amen. And God made a way for them, didn't he? Now, how many know there's some things that cannot be changed in fasting? For instance, how many know when David committed adultery and they had the child, he sought God, didn't he? And he fasted, but the child died. He did not change the situation. Now turn to Jonah. Let's look at the scripture Glenn referred to last night in Jonah. Glory to God. In chapter 3, Notice what it said in verse 5, as Jonah came the second time to preach. How many know when you disobey, God's got two methods of getting you and me? He's got a custom-built submarine. Amen. Hallelujah. Or he's got a hog pen. And we don't need either one of them, do we? Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. He got a ticket going one way, and he got a ticket going the other way. Chapter 3, notice verse 5. It said, after the preaching of Jonah, so the people of Nineveh, notice, they believed God. We're talking about wicked people, aren't we? You know, the judgment was coming on the city, and you know, God waited one century before he judged this people. And notice, they proclaimed a fast and did what? Put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh. Wouldn't to God that our leaders would see the need of fasting and prayer. Amen. In this next year. And he arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. Verse 8, notice what he said here. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Now back in verse 7, notice, he said, beast and man were not to take anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And verse 8, cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way. You want to fast? Let's turn from our evil way, even though we know the Lord. And from the violence that's in their hands, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Look at verse 10 now. And God saw their works. Well, how many know that he sees ours too? That they turned from their evil way and God did something. He changed his mind of evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, in the eyes of many, today Jonah would have been a false prophet. But how many know God can change his mind? Now, look at the last verse of verse 11 of chapter 4. And God said, how many know Jonah got mad? Because God didn't destroy him. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. God is a merciful God. Can you say amen? And fasting and prayer can change some things. Hallelujah. Especially us. And we need to be changed, don't we? Now let's look at another scripture here together real quick. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4, 1. A couple of scriptures, and I'm going to turn to Brother Bowler. He's just itching to get up here. You know, Nehemiah means comforter. How many enjoyed that word, though, yesterday morning he brought? Wasn't it good? Praise the Lord. Nehemiah means comforter. How many need comforted? All of us. Verse 1. And before we read that, let me say something about Nehemiah. How many know that he was the cupbearer? And the cupbearer becomes the construction boss. Did you know that? Now, he was a man that could be proved and trusted. Nehemiah ministered to the king. That speaks of communion. How many know we're to minister to our king? He, knowing the taste of wine, which he would drink before the king, that speaks of discernment. Believe we need some discernment? And he would risk his life daily, you see, forsaking all for the king. And he was completely committed. He was what he did. And we are what we do. Now, in chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Nehemiah, or the comforter, the son of Hachaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, now Hananiah means grace, the Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the what? The Jews, or today we'd say the Christians that had escaped, which were left of the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in what? Great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. You ever see things in the church that causes you to weep? Huh? I mean, I know some Christians go around with their eyes closed. We need our eyes open. They're hurting people, isn't there? We may be hurting, yet your neighbor may be hurting and may not say anything, but we need some discernment, don't we? And here he sees, though, the situation in the natural, and he sits down, he weeps, he mourns, notice certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Well, how many know God sent him back to rebuild the walls and the gates? Amen? You know what's the type of? It's a picture, number one, of building up the church. But it's also a type of building up the soul, which I won't go into. Now, one other scripture. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter. How many believe when you start fasting, you're going to be opposed? Now, let me tell you, when you start praying more, you're going to be opposed. You become a threat to the enemy, don't you? In Daniel 10, notice in verse 2. I may believe Daniel had got a revelation of some things concerning the end time, as well as his own captivity. Verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. My margin says no desirable food. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all. Till those 3 weeks were fulfilled. Now notice that. Now look over in verse 12. Look in verse 12. Then said he to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to what? Understand. How many want understanding? With all you're getting, get understanding. And so Daniel began to seek the Lord to get understanding. And when you begin to seek the Lord to get understanding, you're going to be opposed. And he says here that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to what? Chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for your words. But what? The prince. I mean, oh, there's princes today in the heavenlies, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And, of course, he was talking here in the next verse about the latter days and so forth. We know Daniel's words were heard from the time he started praying and fasting. But the angel was held up for 21 days. But how many know he got through? As Daniel held out in faith and believed and sought God, the angel came on through. Praise the Lord. So there was a warfare as he began to fast and pray. And I want to tell you, brother, if you and I today want understanding from God and knowledge from God, we're going to have to seek the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to fast. We need to pray. But we need to live a disciplined life before God. I tell you, that's what pleases God. To come into a place where we can truly rule our body. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand just a minute before Brother Boland comes here. And I want us to pray. And I want us to repent of the times that we haven't fasted. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we repent today, Lord God, of our slack and lack, and our lack of discipline, of not fasting and praying as we should have, Lord. We repent before the Almighty God and before your people, each one of us here today, and we ask forgiveness and a cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Help each one of us to discipline our lives and to please Thee, Lord, above all. We thank You for that, Lord. And everybody said, amen and amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Tommy. I think we can all pray this prayer of David. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And that's the purpose of fasting. It's for God to cleanse us. For us to become in union with God. And it's to please God. It's not to please man. It's to please God. It's God who sees in secret, who will reward us. openly. Praise his holy name. May that be the prayer of our heart today. There's so many tremendous scriptures on the subject of fasting, and our brother Tommy has given us a goodly amount of those scriptures. But I would like you to turn with me to the book of Joel. Joel is called a minor prophet, but he has a major message. And the second chapter of Joel, starting with verse 12. Joel sees a scene of famine, a scene of the crops being blighted, the pastures being bereft of the green vegetation, the cattle moaning and in distress. And he's calling on the priests of God to cry out to God because of the disaster that had befallen the nation. So, going to the second chapter and starting with verse 4, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you sons of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain and the first. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. He says that twice. Hallelujah. Oh, there is so much here. But
what I have read for you is a picture of the last three feasts. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, that's the Feast of Trumpets. Sanctify a fast, that's the Day of Atonement. God responds by sending the corn, the wine, and the oil, that's the ingathering of the harvest. Hallelujah. And the northern army is put to flight, which is the nation north of Israel. A lot of folk are singing about this army, but I see there is more than one army. You know, God can call Pharaoh his instrument, and God can raise up a man like Cyrus and call him my anointed. He can use whomsoever he will. What did he say of the Assyrian? The rod of mine anger, the staff of mine indignation is in their hands. And here is a call to us as God's people to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. For you know, the trumpet is linked with a message. God is telling us much in these days. But it will do us no good to only hear and not obey. God wants us to not only hear, but do. The Lord Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, did refer to fasting, as our brother Tommy read. But in that sermon, he also mentioned not just teaching, but he said, whosoever shall do and teach. Not teach, then do. Whosoever shall do and teach. So, that puts a lot of responsibility on our shoulders. But his grace is sufficient to help us. He never asks of us that which he doesn't give us the grace to accomplish. Praise his wonderful name. As I think of this matter of fasting, and I'm glad my brother brought it out, there are several kinds of fasts. But if our fasting is unto the Lord, then God is pleased. And it is God's will to do a cleansing within the body of Christ. And when we think of cleansing, we only think of just the physical part. But you see, we are spirit, soul, and body. And I believe that God is saying that he wants us to become cleansed from all filthiness of spirit. You see, our spirit can get infected. Else, why would he say, let us cleanse ourselves, having these promises, dearly beloved, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. One can have a bitter spirit. One can have a proud spirit. One can have a spirit that is contaminated by the enemy. But it is God's will for us to have a pure spirit, a holy spirit, a meek and quiet spirit. Hallelujah. And meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under discipline. That is what meekness is. When you see a horse that is trained and can stop and go at the rider's command, that's discipline. And so, Moses was called one of the meekest men. It's because he was a disciplined man. And that's a word we all don't like. But if we're going to be his disciples, then we will have to learn discipline. And judgment must begin first at the house of God. And if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So, all of us need help, including myself. And the Lord wants to cleanse our spirit. Then he wants to cleanse our soul. And he wants to cleanse our body. And fasting, even with our praying, is a cleanser. But fasting with prayer is dynamite. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. One of those spiritual weapons is fasting coupled with prayer. You know, in the armor that Paul gave in Ephesians 6, he mentions six pieces. But he doesn't give a protection for the back. That means you're not to flee. You have to face the enemy. But he says, and above all, praying with all manner of prayer. He didn't say, just pray. Praying with all manner of prayer and supplication. So all manner of prayer will mean there is more than one way to pray. But there is also a way we can pray when we fast. Fasting and prayer can cause hard situations to be conquered, even as Jesus said, this kind cometh not out, but by fasting and prayer. I don't know the mystery behind that, but I know in my teenage years, I used to do some partial fasting, and I would get weak. But I always felt that God honored it, because I did it under the Lord. And whenever I had a problem, and I prayed, God would give me the answers, but other times when I would fast and pray, the answers would also come in a wonderful way. And I learned that when fasting is joined to prayer, that it seems as if the faith that we have in us is being stirred up. Yes. We can have faith, but sometimes it's lying dormant. And it needs to be activated. It needs to be strengthened. And as we humble ourselves, and God sees the cry of our heart. It was David, the man who fasted so many times, who said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So God wants to cleanse us in the inner man. Now, Israel as a nation was given one day in the whole year to fast. And that day was the Day of Atonement. And who can tell me what day of what month the Day of Atonement fell? I know some of you know that, so you can help me. The Day of Atonement was?
It's May, the 7th month.
Yes, that's right. The 10th month, the 10th day rather, of the 7th month. And the 7th month in the Hebrew is called Tishri or Ethanim. And Tishri means to open. And Ethanim means permanent streams. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to open the windows of heaven. God wants the streams to flow and wash away all the filth. There is a river that flows from the throne, and there is no contamination in that water. All the rivers on earth today are contaminated. Even the river that flows in our body is polluted. But hallelujah, there is coming a day when God says, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. Beloved, He's first cleansing our spirit. He's cleansing our soul. And then He wants to cleanse our very bloodstream from all the taint of sin inherited way back from our first father, Adam. God wants to change us, but He's not changing us all in a day, but from glory to glory. So the Day of Atonement was the day when something happened to the soul. Brother Tommy gave us two scriptures that I myself had jotted down. Psalm 35:13, I humbled my soul with fasting. Psalm 69:10, I chastened my soul with fasting. But let us open our Bibles to Leviticus 23 and see what happened on the day that Israel fasted. And see what God calls it. Leviticus 23, verse 26. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you. And you shall afflict what part of your being?
Your soul.
Your souls. Here you see that important word soul. It's amazing how many times God speaks of the soul. But a lot of God's people only think of the soul and they don't think of the spirit. But the spirit and soul and body are vital parts to our makeup. Our spirits have been reconciled to God through the atoning work of the Lamb and our believing in the Lamb and accepting Him as our own. Our soul is cleansed by that blood. But you see, God wants to do a deeper work in the soul. And so when we fast, we're afflicting our souls. And God says here, you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day. For it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 32, it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at even, from even to even, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Now, you know, these feasts were times not just of eating and drinking. When we think of a feast, we think of eating and drinking. Well, there's a place for that. But among these seven feasts was one that was a fast day. And if you take out the word E from feast, what do you get? Fast. And so, the word feast, I found out one day, the basic meaning is a convocation, a holy assembly, an appointed time. And it could be every time we come together at this camp, we should regard it as a time of feasting. We're feasting on the manna. The one who is the bread of heaven. We're drinking of the river that never shall run dry. We're eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood in a spiritual sense. And here it was a time of afflicting their souls. One of the end time signs of apostasy Jesus gave was men getting involved in surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. He gave us those words in Luke 21, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with something. Surfeiting. What is that? Overeating. Overindulgence. And beloved, any good thing can be carried to an extreme. And so we're learning to be temperate in all things. Not only surfeiting, but what? Drunkenness. Again, the Lord warned about some of his servants who would say, my Lord delayeth his coming. And what would they do? They would begin to eat and drink and get drunk and beat the men servants. How many are beating the flock rather than feeding the flock? Beating them with condemnation rather than bringing a word that will release them. God requires of us who are his servants to be good servants. We don't need to eat and drink of the wine and the flesh of Babylon. Daniel and his friends refused it. Jezebel, as our brother Tommy brought out. This harlot is not only Jezebel, but she's linked with Babylon. So, God is saying, be clean. Isaiah says, be clean, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. Well, we are his vessels, aren't we? And he has put his treasure in us, hasn't he? And he wants our whole spirit and soul and body to come under his rule. And so, as we afflict our souls, it may seem for the moment to be grievous. And our body feels the discomfort. But if we will obey the Lord and humble ourselves and chasten our soul, afflict our soul, then God can do a cleansing in our soul. Now, what day was this fast day? The what day? Notice what day it was. Number 10. You see that number again? You see that number 10? That's the number of the soul. One is the number of the body. 100 is the number of the spirit. You see, God is a mathematical God. I don't claim to know all His numbers, but I'm fascinated by numbers. And every number is telling us something. We know, of course, there is a negative school of belief. And we know the enemy counterfeits the truths of God with his false numerology. But there is a true understanding of numbers. Why would there be a book in the Bible called Numbers? Right. You see, God knows the times and the seasons. So why did he pick the 10th day of the 7th month to be the fast day? That's a good question. Now, I don't know how to answer that, but maybe I'm asking more questions than I'm giving answers. But I see this as a picture of the time of the end as God says, I'm going to clean up my house. We're not ready for tabernacles until we come through atonement. A lot of folk want the glory, but if God were to send the glory on vessels that are not cleansed, we would have more monstrosities and confusion than anything else. But God is not the God of confusion. He's a God of peace. And so, he's saying to us to cleanse ourselves. Now, it is true, we can't clean ourselves by ourselves, but he's made a provision. It is true God cleanses us, but there's a scripture that says we're to cleanse ourselves.
Yes, right.
It is true God sanctifies us, but there's a scripture that says sanctify yourselves.
Amen.
You see, there is God's part and there is my part. And that means I must choose to go with God. Or I can choose to do my own thing. It's wonderful to see that when Israel came to the end of the wilderness, and they were ready to cross Jordan, God let them encamp by the Jordan for a while. And when they crossed the Red Sea, boy, everybody was in a hurry to get over. Isn't that true? When they saw Pharaoh behind them. But when it's time to cross the Jordan, no enemies are pursuing them. And when the Red Sea was open, it was a narrow way. But when God dried up the Jordan, oh, the distance was vast. About 15 miles, the waters were removed. And there was a wide passageway. But what I want to show you is this. Before they crossed the Jordan, Joshua said they were to sanctify themselves. Beloved, the wilderness is coming to an end for some people.
Amen.
Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Lead. Leaning on her beloved. There are two companies that come out of the wilderness. As you study the Song of Solomon. Well, we haven't come out of the wilderness yet. Some people say we're in the promised land already. Well, we're in both. If you're walking with God, we're in the promised land, but we're still in the wilderness of testing. It depends on how you look at it. But there's coming a day when a people will break through the wilderness. But such a people must be sanctified. And fasting is God doing a cleansing and God doing a purging. Not only in the body, but in our spirit and in our soul. You see, we all want God to change us. But the greatest work that God is doing is a secret work. And it's being done in our soul. Our soul is like the female, and our spirit is like the male. But the two are to become what?
One.
But many times our spirit wants to go one way, and our soul wants to go another way, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. But God intended the two to become what? One. There is Adam, there is Eve, there is the garden. Adam is the spirit, Eve is the soul, and the garden is a picture of our human body.
Yes.
Had Eve, instead of facing the serpent on her own, asked Adam for some counsel, and had the two of them been in unison, what would have happened? Would the enemy have succeeded? But the enemy worked through the woman, which is a type of the soul, and instead of the spirit helping the soul dragged down the spirit.
Right.
See? Now, just for a moment, I want to show you how important this is by going to the woman at the well of Sychar. The word Sychar means drunk, and she had to go every day to drink at this well. Well, that woman is a type of all of us. Our soul is drinking from that which can satisfy. And she has had five husbands, and the man she was living with was not her husband. Those five husbands are our five physical senses that the soul is in bondage to. And the man she was living with that was not her husband is the devil. And all of that is a picture of human bankruptcy before God. But this woman is approached by the Lord. And the Lord says, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water I will give you, you'll never thirst. And she says, oh, please show me where that is. But he wasn't talking about literal water. Did you know that the Lord told her something? Why didn't he say after she said, please give me of this water? Okay, woman, receive it. He didn't say that. You know what he told her? Go call your husband. Did you hear that? In case you don't believe me, please read John chapter 4 again. Why did the Lord say, go call your husband? That's God's symbolic language to show us the soul must get joined back to the spirit. Hallelujah! And when that happens, then the soul is free from bondage to the five husbands, set free from bondage to Lucifer, Satan, and now becomes joined to the true husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You see, there is an eating and drinking that is only of this order. But the Lord says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after what?
Righteousness.
What will happen to them? They shall be filled. Yes, beloved, as we humble ourselves in fasting, God will give us food to eat that man doesn't know about. Have you ever wondered how you're going to survive in case famine came to our great nation? And I believe famine, literal famine, will come here. But even now there's a famine of hearing the word of God. Some may be left to prepare food and raise farms. We should condemn no one if they're being led of the Spirit of God. But suppose we don't have that kind of resource. Is God through with us? No. You know, our brother was reading about Elijah fleeing from Jezebel, but the Lord in grace sent an angel to bake him a cake and brought him some water. One time he caused the angels to bring him bread and flesh. But the Bible says that after Elijah had eaten and drunk of that supernatural cake, that he had the strength to go on the journey for 40 days and 40 nights. Hallelujah. Somebody has discovered Ezekiel's bread, and they have claimed that it has been a great help to the human body, and I guess some of you know about it. Well, God has many ways to provide for us. But let us not be among those of whom Paul says, whose God is their belly. It is true, we need to eat. We need to eat to live, but we don't need to live to eat. And God is saying, I want to do a cleansing within your spirit, within your soul, and within your body. As we walk in this humble, broken, contrite way, then God says, I will release for you the corn and the wine and the oil. I'm going to give you the corn of my word. I'm going to give you the wine of my kingdom. I'll give you the oil of my spirit. And my people shall eat and be satisfied and shall never be ashamed. I believe God is getting us ready to feed others. But what are we going to feed them? We don't have enough flour and we don't have enough of the natural to feed. But it's like the Lord telling the disciples as the day was coming to an end. He said, give them to eat.
Yes.
What are we going to give them, Lord? Will you be poured out as wine upon the altar to me?
Hallelujah.
Will you be broken as bread to feed the hungry? Will you be so one with me that I may do just as I will to become life and light and love, my word fulfilled? God is processing us and making us bread. And as God works in us, He's putting a deposit within you and me. When Simon Peter came to the lame man at the gate, beautiful, he said, silver and gold have I none. Maybe we can't say that because we have silver and gold. But he had something that silver and gold could not buy. And Simon Magus wanted that power by paying money. And Peter said, your silver perish with you. Oh, he wanted power just for the sake of power. And I'm afraid there are many who are fasting today, so they want to get a big ministry. That's not the motive, friend. Fasting, you will never puff up any man's ego. Fasting is causing us to go low before God. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Oh, beloved, man's day is over. It's no more a one man, one star. God is going to be revealed through a many-membered man. He alone will be exalted in this day. So, I say to you, it may be a time of soul affliction, but God is beautifying this inner man. And as the soul is going through the change, then the blood, which is the last part of us, is going to be changed. Hallelujah. Think of it. What do we inherit from our parents and our forefathers? Blood! You ever heard people say, I got this in my blood? God is saying, you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. God is saying, I want to set you free from all the bondages of the natural order. All the curse that has come. I want you to come through atonement. And that's our reason for fasting, that as we lay low before God, he will search us. And maybe we can pray another prayer David prayed. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Not in somebody else. Start with me, Lord. And if there be any wicked way in me, let's add this. Please remove it from me, Lord. Deliver me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I don't have to add too much more, but I have one or two more scriptures I want to leave with you, and I'll be through. Our brother read for us a scripture in Psalm 109:24, my knees became weak through fasting. And yet Paul learned a lesson, when I'm weak, then am I strong. And let the weak say, I'm strong. It's because we're glorying in his strength. We refer to the woman as the weaker vessel. Our brother Moody gave that yesterday. But you know what? I'm amazed sometimes how a woman can put us men to shame. A woman in the spirit is strong. Sometimes we who are men are weak. And the women are strong because they're more dependent on God. But blessed are the what in spirit? Poor in spirit. When you're poor, you're dependent. When you're rich, you're independent. Is it by accident the Lord sent a woman to tell the disciples he was risen? And what was said of this woman? He delivered her from how many devils? 7 devils. God is ridding our soul from all the devils.
Hallelujah.
He's cleansing and strengthening this inner man so the enemy will find nothing in us. Amen? How many of us want to reach that realm?
Yeah.
Where the enemy of our souls cannot plant any wrong thought in us. Where he comes to tempt us, but like Joseph, we refuse to compromise. Like Daniel, we stand our ground. May God make this inner man more strong. Because without that inner strength, we will all collapse under the weight. And if any man think he stands, let him take heed what? Lest he fall. We can't glory in ourselves, beloved. Our glory is only in the Lord. Here am I, except for his grace and his keeping me. And he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk how? Humbly with thy God. All right? I want us to end up with Isaiah 58. Our sister suggested that scripture. And if you really want to know the principles of fasting, this chapter has it. I don't think I'll make any major comments on it. All I want to show you is that God is calling us to the right attitude and motive in fasting. And chapter 58 says in verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. You know, sometimes we can win an argument but lose a friend. You know, we can be right and still wrong. We can have the right doctrine but have a wrong spirit behind it. How we need help, don't we? Behold, you fast for strife and debate and smite with a fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? But what is the purpose? Is not this the fast I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? God wants to start that work in us first, before we can be used to help others. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach.
Hallelujah.
The restorer of paths to dwell in. God is raising up a people who will repair the breach. Who will restore the lost paths of God. Such a people will experience a transition. And they will come into the possession of what was lost. Because Joel says, God promised, I will restore all that the enemy has taken away from you. And the enemy is in to take away from us. But the Lord is telling us we are in a time of restoration. But restoration can only come through our afflicting our souls. sins. This is God's call to us in this day, beloved. And however the Spirit leads you to fast, whether it be a partial fast, whether it be a fast for a day, or 3 days, or 10 days, let us obey the Spirit of God. Let us not compete with others in this matter, but let us do what He expects us to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are not grievous. So I'll end up with this. God is getting us ready to overcome in these perilous times, and He's giving us weapons to overcome that are different than conventional weapons that man uses in his warfare. And to encourage you, I want to leave this with you. He's raising up a Gideon army, and He's putting trumpets in one hand and earthen pitchers with the lamps or lights within them. And the enemy will come in all his numbers seeking to overwhelm us. But God is saying, I want you to have the trumpet of my word. But remember, the lamps could not be put in vessels that were clogged up. For the lamp to be in the vessel, it had to be emptied. You see, God is emptying us out of all the uncleanness in our spirit and in our soul and in all the cloggings of the physical part too. He wants us to become a pure vessel. Then we can hold the light. Hallelujah. And then the trumpet sounded, and they were to break the vessels. The day of atonement is the day of cleansing and crushing and breaking, but out of it comes joy. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when the vessels were broken, the light shone forth. Amen? That's the change that will come about in these bodies. Hallelujah. And God is saying, submit to this cleansing. He has given us three agencies to cleanse us. The blood, the word, and the spirit. Keep in mind, God did a deeper cleansing at atonement than at Passover. Passover was when their sins were passed over, but then sins had accumulated. And as we're coming to the end of our wilderness, God is saying, I want you to be fully cleansed and delivered not only from your sins, but from your sinful nature. So you can be pure within, then you'll become pure without. And blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. May God help us then to be that kind of people. And Father, may you take these words that have been sown this day, and may thy Spirit quicken them to us. And may we walk softly before our God. For truly, this is a day that you want to reveal more of yourself to us. But oh, you're looking for a people who have no ambition of their own, no desire to build a personal kingdom, but a people who will come at one-ment with you, to become one with you in thought, word, and deed. Search us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Purge us, Lord. Break us, Lord. Melt us, Lord. Mold us, Lord. Shape us and discipline us until we become a vessel emptied of self and filled with Thee, a vessel unto honor, fit for the Master's use. And as we pour forth our hearts to You in praise and in worship and in petition, as You bring all these requests, we thank You, Lord, that You're going to open the heavens, that You will pour a great blessing, that these needs will reach the throne, and that You will mingle our prayers with the incense of Your infinite worth, Your infinite holiness. And these prayers will be answered, and Your people will rejoice, and we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So be it for the glory of Thy name. Amen. And amen. Praise God.
We've come this morning to be intercessors in behalf of the needs of others. And the Lord tells us over in, Irma, come on, here, I won't be but a half a minute. The Lord tells us over in Isaiah 59, verse 15 and 16, says, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Today we've come to be intercessors in the household of faith, in behalf of the needs of others, and to lift them up before the Lord, that the needs of others will be met. And the Lord tells us over in Ezekiel and in Revelations that there's a reward for those who are intercessors, that the Lord will mark them in the forehead and nothing by any means come near them. And that's the mark I'm looking for, the mark in my forehead of the Lord that's put there by the angel clothed in linen. I'm not concerned about the mark of the beast. I'm concerned about having the mark of the Lord in my forehead. That Jesus will be my intercessor. And in Joel chapter 32 it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So today we've come to call on the name of the Lord. And Irma's going to bring these prayer requests and present them and call out different ones to help pray over them. And while we're doing that, this handful of prayer calls, I'm going to start it over here, and it'll go back and forth down this road. No, I'll start it on this side. And it'll go clear down this side, and then come back up this side. And then when we're all through praying over them, we'll put them on top of the recorder, and you can come get one. Okay? So you just take it and you pray over them, and then these prayer calls are available after we've all prayed over them for you to take one or two or three as you need it.
Praise the Lord. The principle in a prayer clause is not to get money. The principle in the prayer clause is recorded in the Bible with aprons and handkerchiefs that was laid on Paul's body. And I like to lay the prayer clause right here and just let that Holy Spirit pour into them. And when this happened, after Paul put them on his body, it says put them on his body, then he gave them back to him, and the evil spirits left and they were healed. And we've had many, many, many healings and deliverances just from a prayer cloth. And if you will allow the virtue of the Lord just to move into those prayer cloths, we will have lots of answers to prayer. It takes prayer, and it takes allowing your gift of faith to work and allowing the virtue of the Lord that lives within you. Jesus lives in us. And when that virtue goes out into that cloth, that Jesus made everything so simple, it sometimes bewilders me that we pass up everything, and it is so simple. There is nothing difficult if we just do the simple things that the Bible says. Well, this girl called from Yuma, Arizona, I believe she called, she asked for prayer cloth. She has been diagnosed as MS, multiple sclerosis. She has three little children under 5 years of age. Now, what if this was your daughter with three little children? So all these things, we need to take them to heart. We need to get serious about praying. We need to believe when we pray, when we ask, we're going to receive. I wonder who would like to pray for Jackie Olson in Yuma, Arizona. A young woman. She must not even be 30. I don't believe she was. I don't know if somebody handed me this or they called. Who is interested enough in three little children under five to pray? Don't be bashful. Yes, stand up. Both of you ladies, stand up and begin to pray for Jackie Olson. One in the back and one in the front. Dear Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.